tuned for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now. A very big welcome to all of our listeners who are joining us today for the launch of a new season of Lialogos Radio, where today we are celebrating our fifth anniversary on the airwaves with a very special broadcast. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and I would like to welcome our new listeners on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and on Hellenic Radio in Perth, Australia. Today on our show, we are featuring special coverage of the upcoming snap parliamentary elections in Greece, which will be held on Sunday, September 20th. We will be featuring, as part of the Lialogos interview series, interviews with renowned scholar James Petras, professor emeritus at Binghamton University in New York, and with Greek analyst Leonidas Vatikiotis, who will be joining us from Athens. Both Petras and Vatikiotis will share their insights with us about the upcoming elections and about the political events of this past summer in Greece, including the referendum which rejected austerity and the rejection of the referendum result by the Syriza-led government. Also today, we will feature our own commentary on the elections, plus some great Greek music. Coming up right now, though, here on Lialogos Radio is the Lialogos interview series and the first of our two interviews today with scholar and analyst James Petras. The Lialogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next here on Lialogos Radio. Joining us today on a special Greek election broadcast of Lialogos Radio and the Lialogos interview series is renowned scholar and analyst James Petras, professor emeritus of sociology at Binghamton University in New York. James, thank you for joining us once again.
Well, it's a pleasure. I was very glad we put together the last program. I think it went off quite successfully.
Getting us started, many in Greece and outside of Greece as well were surprised, and some would say shocked, at Syriza's about-face in the space of just a few months and how it essentially turned its back on the overwhelming vote of no towards more austerity in a July 5th referendum and a very harsh memorandum agreement it signed with the Troika. You, however, were not surprised at Syriza's capitulation. What is your reaction to what happened?
Well, it's very clear that Syriza's capitulation and subordination to the European Union struck a very powerful blow against the demands of the great majority of the people who voted for him and disillusioned enormous a sector of the population. I think it wasn't surprising because Syriza had within it many former leaders and people from PASOK who had a notorious trajectory of not fulfilling programs and submitting to the European Union. I think the fundamental problem was in the fact that Syriza never spoke out about an alternative to the European Union. They accepted the European Union as the framework. They accepted paying the debt as a framework. They never formulated an independent policy. They overestimated their capacity to negotiate a progressive solution within the European Union, and absolutely nothing suggested that. Their agreement to pay the debt was another fallacy. There was no way in the world that Greece would find the resources to maintain its debt. And I think this three things, the composition of Syriza, the framework in which they agreed to orient, and the fact that they continued to channel resources to their creditors, I think that undermined any possibility of a repudiation of the program of austerity and regression.
And of course, this debt was also found to be in large part odious and illegitimate as well.
Yes, that was decisively determined by a commission formed by the head of the Greek Parliament, who was a leading member of Syriza. But this was completely rejected. Tsipras acted as if the commission and the decisions on the debt meant nothing. And I think it was emblematic of his whole attitude toward any dissent. He acted like a Napoleon. He had a Napoleonic complex in which anything which didn't correspond to his notion of complying with the debt, complying with the EU, was out the window. It's a very dictatorial and arbitrary organization, and the membership, the Central Committee, and even some of his cabinet ministers didn't mount a serious challenge to his dictatorial rule.
What do you believe was the actual message of the Greek electorate in their overwhelming vote of no in the referendum, and how do you believe the sentiment might be expressed in the upcoming parliamentary elections?
Well, I think the vote was clearly a rejection of more punishment, more regressive measures. It was a rejection of the dictatorship of EU. It was an attempt to recover lost income, an attempt to recover sovereignty. It was a way of affirming Greek independence, Greek popular sovereignty, and a desire in which Greek priorities were given a greater importance over the creditors and debt payers and the privatizations and the firings. I think it was a very decisive no to everything that preceded it, and everything which Syriza and Tsipras subsequently agreed to. So here you have this episode of the no in the referendum, sandwiched in between the Syriza leadership's compliance and subordination to the EU and the continuation of regressive policies.
We are on the air with scholar and analyst James Petras here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos interview series. And James, there are many now in Greece and outside of Greece who have their hopes set on a new political party, Popular Unity, which formed from the members of Syriza's left platform, which broke off of Syriza a few weeks ago. With optimism that the likes of former Greek Parliament Speaker Zoikos Stanopoulou, who will run in an alignment with Popular Unity, or Popular Unity party leader Panayotis Lafazanis, will stand up for the anti-memorandum forces in Greece and those who voted no. Do you believe that this will actually be the case, or do you believe that Popular Unity, like Syriza, is insincere in its rhetoric?
Well, let's look at the larger picture. In going into these elections, Syriza is clearly going to decline. The political spectrum is going to become even more fragmented. The voters are going into the elections highly disillusioned. Whatever they vote for and whoever they vote for, it's basically a vote of fear rather than hope. It's a vote that says, where can we find our new clients, not the instruments of structural change? Who is the lesser evil? I think the hopes and aspirations and the radicalism that went into the January election is absent. I think Popular Unity will do poorly. It stayed in Syriza too long. It didn't grow a mass organization outside of Syriza. It has very little insertion in any mass movement. Its struggle at the end with Syriza was essentially a parliamentary struggle. They didn't put people in the streets, and I think people are disenchanted in general with anything associated with Syriza, and I think the level of trust for a second try is very low, especially as they saw many of the popular unity, people sitting in the cabinet while all the damage was being done, all the capitulations were done. I think their popular unity will be lucky to get representation in Congress. And I think people, if they're going to vote, and they'll hold their nose, and maybe a quarter of the electorate will vote for Syriza, popular unity will probably get around 5% of the vote. And I think the right-wing parties, New Democracy, PASOK, POTAMI, are probably going to put together a ramshackle kind of coalition. And I don't think they have objections to bringing Syriza in on a coalition, since they all agree on the latest memorandum. I think politically there is very little reason for them not to form a broad right-wing regime.
What do you believe such a coalition will mean for Greece?
I think they would implement these very harmful and regressive policies that Syriza signed off on. I think they will privatize most of the major lucrative resources in the Greek economy. I think there'll be massive layoffs in the process of privatization. I think the pensions will be cut, wages will be cut, salaries and public sector employment will be cut. I think this will send Greece into a continuing depression, and I don't think any new investment in new enterprises will take place. What will happen essentially is the money which will be gained through privatization will simply be recycled to the outside bankers. I think Greece faces a prolonged depression, a prolonged regression and stagnation as a result of this. And hopefully, as people come to realize that Syriza and the right wing has nothing to offer them, I think there will be a return to street demonstrations and perhaps a radicalization of those demonstrations. There'll be an increase in popular exodus, capital exodus. I think Greece will become a one-crop economy, essentially a tourist economy largely controlled by foreign capital. I think the decline of public ownership is simply the increase of foreign ownership.
This is the Alois Radio. We will return after a short break.
Στα πλούτη εμένα πάλι θα ζητάς. Που ζητάς να πας αφού αγαπάς, και στα πλούτη εμένα πάλι θα ζητάς. Είμαι εγώ, σου κυκλοφορώ. Μέσα στο αίμα σου είμαι εγώ, στις φλέβες σου κυκλοφορώ. Μαλλιά αγάπης δεν κάνεις, μακριά μου θα πεθάνεις και θα πικράθεις όταν θα με στερηθείς. Μαλλιά αγάπης δεν κάνεις, μακριά μου θα πεθάνεις και θα πικράθεις όταν θα με στερηθείς. Μου ζητάς να πας που μ' αγαπάς και στα πλούτη εμένα πάλι θα ζητάς. Μου ζητάς να πας αφού μ' αγαπάς και στα πλούτη εμένα πάλι θα ζητάς. Και στα πλούτη εμένα πάλι θα ζητάς. Μου ζητάς να πας αφού μ' αγαπάς και στα πλούτη εμένα πάλι θα ζητάς.
We now return to the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio. We are speaking with scholar and analyst James Petras here on Diálogos Radio and in the Diálogos interview series. And James, Popular Unity is essentially running in these elections on the Thessaloniki policy platform, which had originally been proposed by Syriza prior to the January elections, and which Syriza quickly abandoned. Do you believe that the Thessaloniki policy platform, with its ambivalence toward issues such as a Grexit and a write-down of Greece's debt, is even enough for Greece at this time?
I don't think the Thessaloniki policy represents a serious a break. First of all, because it is very ambiguous on Greek exit from the European Union and the Eurozone, and that undermines any possibility of developing an alternative policy. Secondly, it doesn't say anything about a moratorium on the foreign debt, which is necessary to channel new resources into revitalizing and developing a alternative economic strategy. So whatever reforms that the Thessaloniki program proposes is undercut by the framework and the resources which will be available. So whatever the attraction of the Thessaloniki program might have in terms of social reforms are not viable within the framework which it refuses to break with. Furthermore, I think that Popular Unity did not fight on these issues when they were dealt with. I think that they didn't make a plausible case that they are willing to break with the renunciation that Tsipras made very early on the Thessaloniki policy. They mumbled and criticized all of it in Parliament. There was no convocation of mass movements. And one wonders whether Popular Unity leaders have that capacity to put people in the streets to build up pressure, to create social consciousness, to sustain an alternative at this point. So I think Popular Unity is largely a parliamentary tempest in the teapot.
Let's talk for a moment about the European Union and its behavior in recent months. How would you characterize its stance toward Greece with the new memorandum and harsh austerity it forced upon a country? And how would you gauge its stance toward the worsening refugee crisis from Syria and the Middle East, which has also greatly impacted Greece?
Well, the European Union is, was, is, and will continue to be an oligarchical organization controlled by Germany, England, France, perhaps Netherlands, in association with its subordinates in Eastern Europe. I don't think it has any representation of anything progressive in Europe. I think it's a very rigid, hierarchical, top-down organization that basically is organized around the idea that any members must accept the dictate, the fiscal dictates, the economic and incomes policies dictated by especially Germany. And so I think the EU functioned with as a debt collector for Greece. It took positions of intransigence, no recognition that they had a sovereign country that was democratically elected. They didn't care. The main thing was to force Greece to meet its external obligations to the debt collectors, even after 5 years of failed policies, failed from the point of view of Greece getting out from under the depression. So the question that they raised was first debt payments and then talk about growth. And if you don't meet your debt obligations, there was destabilization and every effort made to precipitate a capital flight and disinvestment in Greece. So I think you can say the European Union is a oligarchical organization essentially designed to favor German, English, and French bankers over and about what the national interests of the majority of the citizens in Europe, especially those that are under the tutelage of the European Union. I think the European Union bears a great deal of responsibility for the refugees, because the refugees are coming from countries where the EU joined with the United States in wars and destructive wars in Syria, Iraq, Libya, as sub-Sahara Africa. They destroyed economies and fostered mercenaries and terrorist groups, sectarian conflicts, and now they're reaping the consequences. People that have been killed by wars, uprooted by the wars, are now going to Europe because Europe destroyed their households, and they're saying, now you created this situation, and now you must deal with it. I think Europe uprooted the people, and now they want to evade the consequences, which is essentially resettling these uprooted people, products of Euro-US wars.
Before we wrap up, what do you believe would be the best policy solutions for Greece at this time? Do you believe that a Grexit or a departure from the European Union is in Greece's best interest?
I think the only policy is to break with the European Union oligarchy and to assume an independent state, an independent policy. It's necessary to get out of NATO and to deepen and develop alternative trade ties and to reverse the privatization, to set a moratorium on debt, impose capital controls and expropriate the banks. In other words, to mobilize and concentrate as many national resources and to develop trade with Europe, but on the basis of equality and outside of the European Union, to have their own fiscal policy, their own currency, in order to use their monetary policies if they need to devalue, in order to foster trade, if they need to develop a new development strategy, they need to control their national economy. And there are opportunities to trade and develop ties with Russia, China, Iran, Venezuela, and even countries within the European Union on a different basis. So I think that the continuation of the European Union is a total and unmitigated disaster, and it's demonstrated that it is a very arbitrary and dictatorial group that doesn't take account of the interests and circumstances of its subordinate members.
James, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Alagos Radio and for sharing all of your insights with us.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael, and keep up the excellent work.
We just wrapped up the first of our two interviews today as part of our special pre-election edition of the Alagos Radio with scholar and analyst James Petras. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, thealagosmedia.org, where you can also find information about the Alagos Radio app for various mobile devices and the various other ways that you can get our podcasts, including through iTunes and TuneIn.com. Coming up now here on the Alagos Radio is some music, and then our second interview of our pre-election broadcast with analyst Leonidas Fatikiotis.
Και έρχονται τα μνημόνια τώρα. Βεβαίως θα έρχονται τα μνημόνια και θα πληρώσουμε. Θα τα πληρώσουμε όλοι. Πρέπει να παραδεχτούμε ότι η ευθύνη υπάρχει παντού. Όλοι τα αρπάξαμε από εδώ και από εκεί. Όπου μπορούσαμε. Και ο τελευταίος λοιπόν πολίτης θα υποχρεωθεί να πληρώσει. Εμείς λοιπόν έχουμε όραμα. Έχουμε σχέδιο για τη χώρα. Εσείς ρημάξατε.
Μοιάζω με βομβαρδισμένο τοπίο, με ένα στιχάκι που είναι μουτζουρωμένο, στη ζωή στο τελευταίο θρανείο και με πουλί ξενιτεμένο. Έχω πείσμα και γερότο στο μάχι, σαν τον Παύλο με την καλπική λύρα. Την αγάπη που έχω δώσει δεν πήρα, έτσι το θέλησε η μοίρα. Άιντε να σταθώ στα πόδια μου, μετά από τόσα χτυπήματα. Έχω ξεχάσει τα βήματα, μα δεν με παίρνει να πω δεν μπορώ. Πρέπει να μπω στο χώρο. Άιντε
να σταθώ στα πόδια μου, μετά από τόσα χτυπήματα. Έχω ξεχάσει τα βήματα, μα δεν με παίρνει να πω δεν μπορώ. Πρέπει να μπω στο χώρο.
Μεγαλώνω τον άπονο. Ποιος τα αλήθεια παίρνει αυτό που το αξίζει. Δεν το θέλω μα μου βγαίνει παράπονο, γιατί η ρόδα δεν γυρίζει. Άιντε να σταθώ στα πόδια μου, μετά από τόσα χτυπήματα. Έχω ξεχάσει τα βήματα, μα δεν με παίρνει να πω δεν μπορώ. Πρέπει να μπω στο χώρο.
Άιντε να σταθώ στα πόδια μου,
μετά από τόσα χτυπήματα. Έχω ξεχάσει τα βήματα, μα δεν με παίρνει να πω δεν μπορώ. Πρέπει να πω στο χώρο. We'll be right back.
κοιτάξει τι πάει να πει άνθρωπος. Ασχολείστε μόνο πώς θα εξυπηρετήσετε συμφέροντα. Τίποτα άλλο. Πώς θα εξυπηρετήσετε συμφέροντα. Σας καταλάβανε όμως. Σας καταλάβανε.
We just heard some new music which has made waves in Greece recently due to its political undertones, with Leonidas Balafas and Yorgos Nikiforou Zervakis singing Na Stathou Sta Podia Mou. Coming up now on the Alagos Radio is our second interview of our pre-election special with analyst Leonidas Fatikiotis joining us from Greece. The Diálogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series for our special pre-election broadcast is analyst Leonidas Fatikiotis, who was also a member of the Parliamentary Audit Committee for Greece's National Debt. Mr. Fatikiotis, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Mr. Navarakis.
On the 5th of July, Greek voters came out in force to vote against further economic austerity with a vote of no in a referendum which was held on that day. That no, however, was not honored by the Syriza government, which went ahead and signed off on a new and even harsher, some would say, austerity package. In what way do you believe that the bloc of voters who said no on July 5th will express themselves in the upcoming Greek parliamentary elections?
From the very next day of this referendum of July 5th, we must say that Greek people felt a very big disappointment. Greek government didn't honor the vote of Greek people. Greek voters voted against austerity. They rejected the austerity measures of the creditors of Union and IMF, and the next day Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras went to Brussels, and after a few days, on Monday 13th of July, he signed an agreement that in this agreement we show all these measures that Greek people had rejected just 1 week before. I believe that on September 20, Greek voters, if they wanted to honor, to respect the vote of referendum, must vote against all these parties that have accepted and had voted in favor of a memorandum. I'm speaking about Syriza, first of all now, New Democracy, PASOK, Potami, and the Neo-Nazi Party of Golden Dawn. All the previous years, since 2010, we have seen very well the results of memorandum. Very big unemployment, poverty, and mass immigrations of educated youth to Northern Europe.
The new party in the Greek political landscape, Popular Unity, is presenting itself as the party which will turn the anti-austerity sentiment that was expressed in the July 5th referendum into action. Considering, though, that Popular Unity has not joined forces with other anti-memorandum movements like EPAM and Andarasia, and also considering the fact that Popular Unity's members, while they were a part of the Syriza-led government, voted for several austerity measures of their own, do you believe that Popular Unity's message is sincere?
I believe that Popular Unity had to prefer to make a coalition with EPAM and the Party of Andarasia. I believe that they preferred to follow another way and to to address to more conservative people, to the center, to the political center, as it is often said. Of course, it's a very big item to discuss whether there is political center in a society where there is no social center. The last years there is a very big class polarization in Greece with the mass destruction of media of classes like self-employed, etc., etc. But popular unity has decided to address to this political center. I believe that the political turmoil of the post-election period will push this party to examine again its political division. First of all, we must say that the split of Syriza was a very pleasant development, because in this way Alexis Tsipras and the other leaders of Syriza paid a price for their capitulation to the creditors.
This is the Alois Radio. We will return after a short break.
Και θα έρθουν οι εντάξει. Τώρα που θα μας έχουνε η βρέξη και νηστάξει, τώρα που το γαϊδούρι θα πετάξει. Και εν τω μεταξύ κυλάει η ζωή, κι οι πλούσιοι πιο πλούσιοι, και οι φτωχοί φτωχότεροι καταχρεωμένοι. Τελείως τρελαμένοι, ποδοπατημένοι, λέει λατημένοι. Δεν νιώθουνε γιατί, δεν νιώθουνε γιατί. Και καταθέτω νοερά εις το μνημείο του αιωνίως εξαπατημένου. Μπαίνω στο άδειο παραβάν και βγαίνω με ένα φάκελο κενό, και πριν με πάρει ο ύπνος σκέφτομαι κρυφά. Γιατί ψηφίσουν οι φτωχοί αυτούς που τους πηδάνε, κι ύστερα βγαίνουν με πάνω και λένε πως πεινάνε. Βγαίνουν ζητάνε χίλια δυο και παίρνουν ό,τι κάτσει. Η εξουσία χασκογελάει και τους κλωτσάνε οι μπάτσοι. Η εξουσία χασκογελάει και τους κλωτσάνε οι μπάτσοι. Και εν τω μεταξύ κυλάει η ζωή, και πλούσιοι πιο πλούσιοι, και οι φτωχοί φτωχότεροι καταχρεωμένοι. Τελείως τρελαμένοι, ποδοπατημένοι, λέει λατημένοι. Δεν νιώθουνε γιατί, δεν νιώθουνε γιατί. κυλάει η ζωή. Και εν τω μεταξύ κυλάει η ζωή.
We now return to the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio. We are speaking with analyst Leonidas Vatikiotis here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series. And Mr. Vatikiotis, it's been said that Popular Unity has essentially adopted the Thessaloniki policy platform, which was first presented by Syriza prior to the January elections. Is this indeed the case, and do you believe that such a plan does enough for Greece at this time?
No, I believe that Popular Unity is far away from Syriza. Even the Syriza of 2014 and the previous years. For example, now Popular Unity says that Greece must exit from Eurozone. I don't use the term Grexit because after use of this term by Schäuble in Greece, it's a very hated term. But I believe that, for example, a Popular Unity is in favor of nationalization of banks. They believe that Greek banks must be nationalized by Greek state, and they ask to happen, for example, what happened in Iceland on 2008. All these demands and many others are very different, are much more radical than Syriza's program. For this reason, I believe that this critic that says that Popular Unity of 2015 is like Syriza of till January of 2015 is aimless.
What would be the repercussions of the new memorandum agreement which was signed by the Syriza-led government and which is likely to be enforced by a new Syriza government or by a government led by the conservative New Democracy Party? What would be the likely outcome of this memorandum agreement for Greece and for the Greek people?
I believe that Syriza has no excuse to say to Greek people as he voted this all the previous parties that have voted in favor of memoranda, they had said that I had been forced to do it. Syriza isn't the first party that says that I wanted to vote it, but there were a major force that necessitated me to do it. I believe that we will have very severe implications for the next months. For example, unemployment will be increased. Today we have an unemployment of 26%. It's the highest unemployment in the European Union, and in Greek Yaffa the unemployment is nearly 60% and higher. This unemployment will be much more, will be higher in the next months because, for example, the new memorandum predicts many privatizations. We know very well that after any privatization, we have the new bosses of these firms, they fire personnel. In Greece, there are no more any jobs, so where they will go to work? We know very well that we'll have new reductions in pensions, new cuts in social spending, etc., etc. We can understand that the next months will be very crucial in social conditions in Greece.
In closing, there are some analysts who insist that the window of opportunity for Greece to exit the Eurozone and still be in a position to recover economically has passed, claiming that Greece's position has been weakened considerably by the new memorandum agreement and also by the capital controls that have been enforced. Do you believe that this is the case?
No. I believe that even now, if Greece decide to imply a rupture with creditors, it will be much better for all of us. And we must say that here there is a contradiction. all these people, journalists, politicians, who say that we had to exit from Eurozone or to declare cessation of payments before 3 and 4 years, they say that then it would be better. They must apologize to Greek people, because just the same persons on 2010-2012 were in favor of Euro and were saying that a cessation of payment will be a suicide for Greece. And the same persons now say just the opposite, but they say that now we must continue to do what we were doing the previous years. I believe that we must declare cessation of payment using the preliminary report of the audit committee of Greek Parliament, which raised the Greek public debt as illegal and unsustainable, and to exit from Euro.
Mr. Vatikiotis, thank you very much for taking the time to share your analysis and insights with us today here on the Alagos Radio.
Thank you very much.
We just wrapped up our second interview for today's pre-election special with analyst Leonidas Vatikiotis, the podcast of which will soon be available on our website, thealagosmedia.org, and on the Alagos Radio mobile apps. Coming up right now here on the Alagos Radio is our commentary of the week. The Alagos Radio's commentary of the week. Each week, Michael Navratakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on the Alagos Radio. Well, we said it, and it happened. The major capitulation from the supposedly left-wing Syriza government, which we had predicted over and over again from prior to the January elections, took place with the rejection of the no vote in Greece's referendum to approve EU-imposed austerity, and with the signing of a memorandum agreement far worse than what Greek voters had previously rejected. The signs were there from the beginning, from the original Eurogroup agreement in February, which extended the previous austerity agreements, to the election of corrupt conservative former government minister Prokopis Pavlopoulos as president of the Republic, by telling the Greek people that it was their patriotic duty to pay the unconstitutional unified property tax, and through the imposition of a presidential decree which looted all of the cash reserves of the government and public bodies, such as the health and pension systems. For this, we were often harshly criticized and attacked, both by Greeks and by those on the left, including leftist academic tourists who came to Greece, stayed only in specific neighborhoods, and met with specific activists, and who believed every word of the rhetoric of Alexis Tsipras, the supposedly heroic Yanis Varoufakis, and others. And yet, they were wrong, and we were right, and this is not something that pleases us. Now, with snap parliamentary elections coming up in Greece, Syriza, even if it manages to finish in first place, is likely to form a coalition with conservative pro-EU, pro-Euro, and pro-Memorandum parties such as New Democracy, PASOK, and POTAMI. And with that, we are now supposed to believe that the former members of Syriza's left platform, who have formed a new political party known as Popular Unity, are the new hope for Greece and for the anti-memorandum movement. The actions of Popular Unity's members, including its leader Panayotis Lafazanis, who was energy minister in the Syriza-led government, and former parliament speaker Zoe Kostanopoulou, who is treated as a hero by some for her supposedly fiery rhetoric against austerity, leave us with some questions. We ask, why didn't the left platform leave from Syriza immediately after Alexis Tsipras and a party leadership rejected the resounding no vote in the referendum? Indeed, why were they claiming, even then, that they were still supporting Tsipras in Syriza? Isn't it a bit odd that they formed their own party and broke off from Syriza only when Alexis Tsipras informed the members of the left platform that they would not be included on the ballot for the upcoming elections? Why did they vote for the corrupt, conservative Prokopis Pavlopoulos as president in February? Why did they vote in favor of the Eurogroup agreement in February? Why did they vote in favor of the passage of the presidential decree which looted Greece's cash reserves in order for the May payment to the IMF to be made? And why has Popular Unity shown no real interest in forming a coalition with true anti-memorandum forces such as EPAM and Andarcia? All of these questions point to certain answers, and those answers tell us that popular unity is more of the same, a Syriza clone which has not taken a clear stance on the issue of Greece's debt, despite the findings of the Debt Audit Commission, which determined that this debt is illegal and odious and illegitimate. Popular unity also has not taken a clear stance on the issue of leaving the Eurozone or the EU, similarly to Syriza prior to the previous elections. And to us, that indicates that they are laying the groundwork for future flip-flops of their own. We're saying it here first, and we don't care if once again, we're the bad guys for saying so. Syriza apologists and those who are in favor of austerity claim that Greece had no choice, that it was either accept the agreement or end up with a catastrophic exit from the euro. They repeat the claim, which has proven to be false by the many independent, non-biased polls that have been conducted, that Greeks do not want to leave the eurozone, and with such lies, they justified Syriza's capitulation and a signing of the most severe memorandum agreement yet for Greece. For Greece, though, and for the Greek people, there is always a choice. Just say no, and implement one of the many plans which exist for an orderly eurozone exit, which have been prepared by economists such as Roger Boodle and Dimitris Kazakis. But the austerity it has once again imposed on Greece, just as with its disgraceful handling of the refugee crisis and its participation in war and violence in the Middle East and elsewhere, the EU has proven that it is a murderous, disgraceful institution. On election day, September 20th, the Greek people should rise up and simply say no. No to the EU and no to the eurozone. We just heard our commentary of the week, and coming up now here on Diálogos Radio is some more great Greek music.
Μητέρα, ο δόχτυλος.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is Dialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which airs worldwide on over 20 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online, where today's pre-election broadcast is just about ready to come to a close. We'll be back next week, though, same time, same place, with post-election coverage featuring an interview with political analyst Dimitris Laskaris of the Real News Network. And in the meantime, be sure to visit our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can find more details about our podcasts, our mobile apps, the names of the songs we air today on our show, our online radio station, Dialogos Radio 24/7, and our articles and written work, including upcoming articles and interviews, which we will soon be announcing. All that and more is available online at dialogosmedia.org. We will close out today's show with one final song with Yannis Poulopoulos singing Epefte Varia Siopi. This is Michael Nevradakis. Thanks for joining us today here on Dialogos Radio.
Έπεφτε βαθιά σιωπή στο παλιό μας δάσο. Τρέξε να σε πιάσω, μου είχες προτωθεί. Κι όταν έτριζε η βροχή στα πεσμένα φύλλα, πως η ανάτρη φύλλα μέσα στη ψυχή. Κρασί, κίτρινο φεγγάρι, φεύγαν οι φαντάροι, έφευγες κι εσύ. Κι είχες μέσα στη ματιά ένα σκούρο σάμπος, ένα σκούρο σάμπος να πέφτει νυχτιά. Κάποια κόκκινη πληγή που δεν λέει να κλείσει το μικρό ξοκλήσι δίπλα στην πηγή. Και μια κίτρινη σιγή το παλιό